Reading will begin in Lamentations chapter number 3, starting at verse number 37. Verse number 37. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "Who can command and have it done? If the Lord has not ordained it, is it not from the mouth of the Most High that good and bad come? Why should any who draw breath complain about the punishment of their sins? Let us test and examine our own ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts as well as our hands to God in heaven." Amen. Now go on and put your device down, your Bible down. Grab your neighbor by both hands. Look your neighbor square in the eye. Grab him by both hands. Look him square in the eye. All right, you got to catch this, because if you don't, you're going to miss it, because it ain't going to take us long. Amen. And say to your neighbor, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Own it.
Own it.
Neighbor.
Neighbor.
Own it.
Own it.
Amen. Amen. Now turn and point to somebody else and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Is he talking to you?
Is he talking to you?
Amen. We have entitled our message this morning, Own It. You know, as we talk about this, you know, I had to go back. I had to reflect on my own growing up. And as I was growing up, my mother and father were truly those that were sticklers about actions that were acceptable and actions that were unacceptable. And as they taught me those things, you know, like any kind of youngster, you got to see whether or not they're going to deal with actions that are unacceptable. And while I was young, I attempted to do what was unacceptable. And when I did that, I realized and recognized that they meant just what they said. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I learned from that day on that, you know what, it is best for me to do what they expect. If they say do it a certain way and the expectation is to get it done that way, that's just the way I did it. But every now and then, because come on now, because don't look at me like I'm all that and I'm perfect and I ain't. Every now and then, Brother Phil, I would test the waters to make sure the water was still what it was. And then when my actions were unacceptable, don't you know that they did what they said they were going to do? And rather than me deal with what I've done wrong, I'm going to look at them like it's their fault. I'm mad at them rather than the person I ought to be mad at is. You see, and I want us to see this, because what I want us to look at, and it ain't going to take us long to go through this, is that as we look at this, I want you to understand the whole purpose of Lamentations is because Jeremiah, who was considered to be the weeping prophet during his book and during his time of ministry, and as he was giving the people prophetic words, he saw what was coming, but the people would not allow their actions to be acceptable in the presence of God. They continued to do that which was unacceptable, Brother Freeman. And guess what? They ended up in Babylon in captivity. You see, it still happens to us today. The word of God says do A, B, and C. But Sister Sarah, we want to go back and do Z, Y, and W. And then we wonder why we're in the mess that we're in right now. It's important for us to realize if you did the wrong, you need to what? Own it. I know that's a hard bite. You know, we don't want to own what we've done wrong. And then we wonder why relationships go awry, because folk don't want to. We wonder why friendships go wrong, because folk don't want to. Folk have cuffs on their hands and the cops are taking them away. They know they just what they just did, but they're walking away saying, I didn't do it. They don't want to. Folk in church, you know, we holy, but we make some mistakes. But But when you have hurt somebody and you did something wrong, it's best to apologize. Because if we are a child of God, we got to learn how to
own it.
Amen.
That's right.
Talk about it, man. But can we go and look at this? Because as we look here in verse number 37 from Lamentations chapter 3, it says this: who can command and have it done if the Lord has not ordained it? You see, what is happening here is that the people are mad. And they are mad with God. They want to blame everybody for all that has happened. They want to say the reason why they're in captivity is because of this and because of that. But what Jeremiah is letting them know, you wouldn't be where you are right now if God had not. Sometimes we end up in the miry clay. We end up in the pig pen because of the stuff that we have done. But we don't want to own what we've done. We want to blame it on somebody else, Deacon Jones. We want to blame this person, blame that person. No, we got to learn how to take hold of our own actions and say, if I did wrong, then I got to say I.
Amen.
If you want to move things forward, you, a lot of times things are stuck where they are is because folk don't want to. You see, now as we see this, he goes on further, because I want us to see this, because this is really important, because this becomes a head scratcher. Is in verse 38, is it not from the mouth of the Most High that good and bad come? Wait a minute, we serve a God and we say God is good and that he's good all the time. So how can bad come from God? Bad doesn't come from God. Bad comes from us not obeying God.
Amen.
You see, if God is telling you to stay past this step, because if you don't, if you walk off past the step, you're going to fall. Now, I know for a fact that there's a step here, right? And if I don't pay attention to what's here and I step off, what's going to happen? And then who am I going to blame? God, I thought you was good all the time, but what just happened here wasn't good for me. This is kind of bad. Well, it's bad because of the fact that you did not follow the instructions you had been given. The problem is when bad things happen to us, it's more us than it is God. You see, God wants to bless us. God wants to deliver us. God wants to take us to higher heights. But if we get outside the will of God and try to do things our own way, what happens? That's just like somebody who's intoxicated getting behind the wheel of a car and say, I'm going to drive myself home. And on the way home, they tear up about four or five other cars. And they find themselves on the side of the road with three busted tires and don't know how it happened. Well, I thought God was good. Yeah, he is good. You're still breathing, ain't you? You see, what Jeremiah is sharing with the folk who are in Babylon right now, he's letting them know that y'all, we are here. Or you're here. And yes, God ordained it, but what God ordained was that God had everything set up for you. But you made a decision not to follow his will. You made a decision to go outside his will. You made a decision to do what you thought you were big and bad enough to do. You made a decision to go there and vote certain ways, and then you see what happened, and then now you don't understand why things are so bad. You made decisions to stay home and didn't go vote and then wonder why certain things happen. You made certain decisions in your life to do certain things, and you wonder why folk don't want to be around you. You have done some things that have offended, have upset, and have hurt, and then you wonder why I don't know why nobody like me.
Come on.
You in church saying how much you love the Lord, but everybody in church don't want to be around you because whenever they get around you, all they ever get is lemons.
Yeah.
Come on now.
You don't ever give folk no sweet oranges. All you ever give folk is lemons. And every time they get a lemon from you, they say, I'm glad I got some sugar in my pocket. Because as I got some sugar and I got some water, I ain't going to just take that lemon. I'm going to go ahead and make myself some wine. You see, I want you to understand something. I don't care what folk try to give you, but you know who has given you everything that you have. That's why we go to the Lord and say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And don't you know that the Lord is sweeter than any honeycomb? Don't you know the Lord has everything that we need? And if we are children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we want to share the sweetness, because we understand that life in itself is already sour. All of our lives were sour without Jesus. But thank God that we got Jesus. Hasn't he brought us a mighty long way? Hasn't he turned our lives around? Hasn't he done great things for us? Hasn't he done the impossible? I tell you, if you know how good he is, somebody ought to thank him right now. He is the sweetness in our lives. If we didn't have him, oh, where would we be? And I'm thanking God that the sweetness I get from him won't give nobody diabetes. It ain't gonna put you on no sugar high. It's going to put you on a spiritual high. Because our God is just good like that. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't get lost now. Now look at verse number 39. I'm sorry, verse 39. Look at what he says here. He says in verse 39, why should anyone, any who draw breath, complain about the punishment of their sins? Now, I'll read it one more time. Why should any who draw breath complain about the punishment of their sins? Check this out. You know what I just did? I just drew a breath. And guess what? Don't you know breathing is an involuntary muscle that happens inside of us? Don't you know, and you know, remember how, well, none of our kids, but we would see kids, and you see kids saying, well, if you don't give me what I want, I'm going to hold my breath. They can stand there, face can turn colors, but eventually what they going to do? They're going to fall out, and when they fall out, what's going to happen? They're going to... Don't you understand? He's talking about us. Why do folk who draw breath, otherwise they say, if you can breathe, why are you complaining because of the punishment? Don't you know that God sometimes has to let us put our hand in a hot pot to realize the pot is hot? Because if the Lord, even though the Lord told you that the pot was hot, and don't you put your hand on it because it's going to burn you. But some folks say, well, no, I can figure out how I can touch this, how I can do this. But and then when we go and we touch it, then we want to go and blame God for allowing us to burn our hands. But the reality is God already told you it's going to burn your hand if you touch it. So in all actuality, this is where we got our sermon heading from. Because until we are willing to own our own actions, then I want you to understand that we're going to still have some problems. Y'all who are here old enough, because I was a little boy, Flip Wilson used to come on. Y'all remember Flip Wilson? Remember how he used to dress up as Geraldine? And whenever he dressed up as Geraldine and walked around and Geraldine would do something, she immediately would say the... So I want you to understand that Geraldine would not even... As God's people, we got to learn how to own our actions. Yes. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, do you want to grow? Okay, you see, because what I want us to understand, if owning our actions is part of our growth process. Because if you're willing to own what you've done wrong, then you can move from it. You see, because if you don't own what you've done wrong, it's like putting a rock on a small plant. Because if you put a rock on a small plant, a heavy rock on a small plant, the plant's not going to be able to grow the way it needs to grow because it has that weight on it. You see, now it still might sprout up, but it can't sprout up the way it was supposed to sprout up because it had to exert so much energy to get around the rock. But don't you know, if you own it and you say you did it and you're willing to own what you've done, don't you know the rock is removed? Because the rock is removed because you realize that, you know what, I made a mistake. I realize I did this. I made this up. I made the mistake. And now that I made the mistake, I want to get it right. And in order for me to get it right, I got to know where to go. Do you want to know where to go in order to get it right? Do you want to understand how we can truly fix whatever goes wrong in our lives? Jeremiah was letting the people then know while they were there in Babylon that you have to own what you've done. And when you are willing to own what you've done, Jeremiah is saying, I'm going to show you how you can get through this. I'm going to show you that no matter how big the storm is right now, that the sun is rising on the other side. All you got to do is learn how to own your stuff. And this is how you own it. Look at verse number 40. Look at verse number 40. He says, let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. So what Jeremiah is saying to them, go on and look at what you've done. Go on and put it to the test and see what has happened with it. Examine what you've done. You see, and the same thing ought to be about us as a church. When we look at what we've done and examine what we've done, is there love in this place? When you hear something about somebody that ain't good, do you automatically want to pass the gossip, or do you say, come on, y'all, let's pray for them? When you are in church, are you more concerned about what you're going to get or how the Lord going to use you to bless somebody else? You see, because I want you to understand something. If we're going to use Jesus as our example, Jesus did everything for everybody else. He said, I came to serve, not to be served. He came to make a difference. That's why he is the difference maker. And since he says this to them, and Jeremiah is saying, test, examine. Now, once you test and examine, you're going to see where you've fallen short. And now that you've seen where you've fallen short, he says to them in verse number 40, return to the Lord. So in actuality, he is saying, repent. You see, because when you repent, what you are doing is what? Turning. You're turning away what was wrong and turning to what was right. And what I want you to understand, my brothers and my sisters, isn't that why we're in church today? Because there was a time in our lives we were going down the wrong road, and we had to test and examine what we were doing, and then we had to what? Turn. And as we turned and we came to church and we said, Lord Jesus, I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. What we are saying is that I am turning away from the things that have been beating me down. I own what I have done. Now, Lord, I'm looking to you. I need your help. I need your guidance. I need your blessings. I need your grace. I need your mercy. Lord, I can't move unless you show me how to move. Lord, I need you to direct my life. On my own, I made a mess of my life. But Lord, I need your help. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody realize they needed God's help? Where would you be without the Lord being right there with you? I don't know about you, but I can't help but say thank you, Lord. I know what it was like before I had Jesus. And now that I have Jesus, I'm a whole lot better off. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, what a mighty God. You see, this is where it culminates in verse number 41. You see, once you understand God is in control, and that when you try to take the controls away from God, that's when our mess begins. And when our mess begins is because God, you know, if you tell God, I want it, God, I can do it, I don't need your help. Guess what God going to say? Okay. All right now. If you think you can do this without me, okay, go on. Don't get mad when all hell break loose. Don't get mad when you find yourself in captivity. Don't get mad now that you're in a foreign country and you can't abide by all the kosher laws. Don't get mad because you can't go to the temple every day and worship and praise me. Don't get mad when you see all that I had done for you now ain't nothing happening good for you. Don't get mad. I tell you, I want you to understand, my brothers and my sisters, I don't know about you, but there's been a time I tried it all by myself. I tried it. I'm talking about even after I was saved, I tried to fix it. I tried to do it. And you know what happened? It beat me down. And you know what he calls me to do is call on the name of the Lord that much more. And the Lord looked at me and said, oh, now you want me, huh? Oh, now you really need my help, huh? Oh, you know I called you to preach, huh? Now you want to look to me. Okay, now do you understand what happens when you don't have me in your life? And I said, Lord, yes, I do. I don't want to try to do this no more by myself. I'm going to do what you called me to do and do it the way you want me to do. And when I surrendered and I owned what I had done wrong, I look at how far the Lord has brought me. He took this big head boy from Orange, New Jersey, and he brought him down here to Richmond, Virginia, and he has done great things in his life. I know there's been some bumps along the way. All the enemy was trying to do was shut me down. But don't you know he can't shut us down? Because if God be for us, who can be against us? I know the enemy's going to always try to come at us, but there's no weapon formed against us that shall prosper. I'm not just talking about myself now. I'm talking about you too, because we all got a story. We all had to learn sometimes the hard way, but we thank God for his grace and his mercy. He never gave up on us. He hung in there with us. He's walking with us. He's taking us a mighty long way, and we're able to go forward because we are walking by faith and not by sight. Do anybody in here know what I'm talking about? Oh, what a mighty God we serve. If you want to move forward, you have to what? Look at this last verse. Look at this last verse. Once we learn how to return, because it says the word return, which means that you had already turned to God. So what? In order for you to return, that means you got to go back and do it again, because you didn't get it right the first time. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Don't you know that's what Christianity is like? Don't you know that we don't always get it right the first time? And that's why we got to what? Return. We got to return because we don't always get it right the first time. That's why we have to what?
Return.
But in order for us to return, once we made the mistake, we got to learn how to You see, my brothers and my sisters, once we learn how to own it, then we can what? Return. And who do we return to? The Lord. Because isn't he the one that brought us this far? Isn't he the one that's done everything for us? Isn't he the one that supplies all of our needs? Isn't he the one that gives us a sun to shine? Isn't he the one that put a roof over our head, clothes on our back, food on our table, money in our pocket, keeps us in our right mind, allows the blood to run warm through our veins? When we think about how good our God is, what he has done for us. I know we have stumbled along the way, but I thank God all of us have made a choice to what? Return. Now that we understand that we've returned, I'm emphasizing this because when we get to verse 41, I get a little wound up. Since Dave, I just don't know how to contain myself, but I'm trying to get better at it. But it's all good. But when we look at verse number 41, he says, let us. Do you see it right here? He says, let us lift up our what? As well as our what?
Hands.
To who?
God.
Where?
In
you see what I mean, my brothers and my sisters? You see, when we return, what we are saying, Lord, I realize I made a mess on my own. But Lord, I return to you. And Lord, I'm here now to say, Lord, I surrender. I've owned what I've done wrong. So Lord, I lift up my heart to you. I lift up my heart to you because Lord, what I'm saying is, Lord, I give it back to you all over again. I know I tried to take it back, but Lord, it didn't work right. But Lord, now I'm putting it all back in your hands. And now that it's back in your hands, Lord, I ain't gonna come out of your hands. I ain't gonna ever try to move from your hands because I realize the kind of mess I made when I did. But I want you to understand something, that if you just come to church and wave your hand and think that's what it's all about, no. You got to understand it's got to start on the what? Inside. If your heart ain't right, you can swing your hands all day long. All you're doing is getting a little exercise in. But when you know how good the Lord is, you lift up your heart to God. You praise God. You thank God because you know what? It could have been another way. Don't you know that the Lord, he brought me through this and he brought me through that. And since I know he done brought me through all that, don't you know that our God is sweeter each and every day that I live? Don't you know that where would I be if I had not didn't have Jesus in my life? You see, my brothers and my sisters, the Lord that we serve wants us to grow. The Lord that we serve wants to do the impossible with us. The Lord that we serve wants to perform miracles around us. But in order for us to see God perform some miracles, we got to learn to
own it.
Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Oh, go ahead. But you understand what I'm saying? I want us to see this. And I want us to understand that if we're going to be up in here and we're going to truly be the people of God, we have to look at one another. Look at your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, I'm not perfect. You ain't perfect. But we can still make it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You see, it's the problem with folk who come to church to visit and they see a whole bunch of perfect people. We even clap perfect. We know when to stand up and say, hallelujah, perfect. When we hear some bad things or we hear something right, I just can't believe that. That's when folk ain't owning stuff. That's when folk want to put on a facade. You see, because I want you to know facade to get you in trouble. You don't believe me? Let me tell you a real quick joke. There was a brother who died. And when he died, the angel brought him to the gates of heaven. He said, bro, your life is kind of like on a borderline. So what we're going to do is we're going to let you make a choice. Now, you know I said this is a joke, right? So he said, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you what heaven looked like. And then I'm going to put you on the elevator. You can go down there and see what hell looked like. And then the elevator going to bring you back up here and give you a choice. And you're going to tell me what you choose. So when he took him up into heaven, he just saw a whole bunch of folk just chilling on clouds and just everything was at peace and quiet. He looked around and said, Brother Phil, hey, ain't a whole lot going on up here. So he went down to hell. The angel threw him on and put him on the elevator. He went down to hell. When he got off, the devil was there to meet him. Say, hey, bro, I'm so glad you're here. Let me show you what we got going on down here. When he got down there and he looked over all around, he saw folk blowing whistles. He saw folk partying. He saw folk at the bar. He heard folk over there saying, party over here. Party over there. He saw everybody having a good time. So when he got back in the elevator, he was contemplating and got back up to the angel. And the angel said to him, okay, you're at your crossroads. You want to come in or you want to go down? He said to the angel, well, I want you to know, as I was looking, y'all ain't got a whole lot going on up in here. Folk just at peace and all clouds, and it don't seem like there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. So I figured I'm going to go down to hell. He's like, are you sure? Absolutely. I got to get my party. Right? I'm going to be hearing about this later. Or I ain't going to hear about it, but somebody going to talk to other folk about it. He said, you sure? He said, yep. Angel stepped away from the door of the elevator. Brother pushed the button, went down, and he was like, yeah, I'm ready to get my party on. And then the doors opened up. He saw folk gnashing and flame and pools of fire. And he said to the devil, wait a minute. This ain't what I saw before. He said, oh, no, that's just our demo. What is that telling us, church? We ain't trying to run no demo for nobody. We ain't trying to impress nobody. We just being who we are. We are imperfect beings who've been blessed by a perfect God who have took us out of nothing and made something out of us. We understand we're going to make some mistakes. I got to own my mistakes. But I understand that the Lord still is going to bless me. Still going to take me forward. Still going to deliver me. Still going to use me. I am going to give him my life because where would I be without Jesus? Now I'm here to tell you, my brothers and my sisters, anybody here willing to move forward with Jesus? Anybody willing to trust Jesus? Say, Lord, I don't care what goes on. I'm going to say hallelujah anyhow because you brought me a mighty long way. You're taking me a mighty long way. BRBC, the Lord is doing great things here. We got to trust him. Watch and see how far God's going to take us. But in order for him to take us far, Brother Roscoe, we got to own it. Because if we don't own it, then all we're doing is stunting our own growth. That's our challenge today, my brother. That's our challenge today, my brothers and sisters. We got to own it. I ain't going to start preaching no more. Because Lord knows I can get wound up all over again. But I ain't going to do that. But what I'm saying to you right now, it's a decision. Hear what I'm saying. A conscious decision we make. We're saying, I own it. You see, I want you to understand, we don't just own what we did wrong. We own what we did right. But when folk want to praise us for what we did right, we say, no, 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 give. When we own what we done wrong, we say, Lord, forgive us. Help us. Because we want to grow. Are you hearing what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters? You see, BRBC, the Lord is growing us. And as the Lord is growing us, he doesn't want nothing to stymie our growth. He wants us to be as healthy spiritually as we can be. And the only way we're going to be healthy is we got to own it. Own it all, good and bad. But the good stuff, we praise God and give him the glory. The bad stuff, we say, Lord, I messed up. But that's called growth.